Good morning, brothers and sisters. Also, friends who have invited to today's worship. Last week, I talked to one of my pastor friends, and I asked him what did COVID-19 has impact on his church. And then he said he has to learn a lot of things. He said that he must do a lot of new things by himself, say setting up the online worship, as well as going through all these kind of technical difficulties. And he finally got the worship done. Deep inside his mind, he believed that as far as like if he persists for a few months, after the physical gathering resumed, then things will be slowly going back on track. However, we know that in July, that the physical gathering has resumed, and he has faced a new set of challenges. Because there are still members who were not comfortable going back to physical gathering with legitimate reason. He really have to set up all the equipment for a small church that he has with no physical gathering place. He has to set up all the equipment in the morning, and then after the worship, he has to clean up the place and then return the place to other use. So for this, he really have a lot of things going on, and he actually do not have enough equipment and manpower, so that he actually have to separate the two worship, the physical worship and the online worship. That means he have to do two worship and add on to his workload. In 2020, COVID-19 has caused a lot of uncomfortable and great impact on many people. People are learning to strike the balance between pragmatism and empathy. I believe many brothers and sisters are also wondering how to be a blessing or realize God's blessing in the post-COVID era, like my pastor friend. What is the message that we can find from the scripture during a time of natural disasters and human self-induced crisis, which make all of the human race out of control nowadays? Maybe let me pray first. I'm feeling a little bit nervous. Okay, dear Lord, we come before you. We pray that you will be present with us in times of the world crisis post the COVID-19 era, and also a lot of political unrest. That we come back to you for your steadfastness and your faithfulness. We go back to the scripture that you will be faithful and be present today. Dear Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look into the questions that we mentioned earlier. Let's look at the scripture and see what the scripture can reveal to us today. Before we start, let's go back to the scripture before chapter 12. Before chapter 12 in Genesis, there are three important stories that matter to all humankind. In these three stories, the Bible tells us that there are one recurring problem, which is the problem of the humanity's sin. Let's look at the slide here. The three stories are the story of Adam and Eve, the story of Noah's Ark, the story of Tower of Babel. All these stories have a God blessing in the beginning. In the story of Adam and Eve, God tells them that they can eat freely from all the trees in the garden except for the tree of knowledge of the good and evil. In the story of Noah's Ark, God told us that human beings began to increase in number. That means they have been settled and built families accordingly. And in the story of the Tower of Babel, we learn that all humankind have one language and one speech. They have been coordinating seamlessly, and they all settle in one place together. So all of these stories have encountered the same human problem, which is sin. In the story of Adam and Eve, they ate from the knowledge of the good and evil, and that received the punishment from God and cast out from the garden. And from the story of Noah's Ark, God provided a salvation plan for them. God instructed Noah to build the ark. And it's because he sees the wickedness of human race are so huge. And nights and days, they will have been thinking about the evil things. And for the story of Tower of Babel, the human beings wanted to build the city and tower, not for the glory of God, but to make a name for themselves. Let's go back to the question that we asked at the beginning. How to be a blessing or realize God's blessing during a time of natural disaster or self-induced crisis by the human beings, which make them all out of control of the situation. In this field's events concerning the life and death of all mankind, in the record of Adam and Eve, God actually made coats for them. It implies that he sacrificed the animal for their sin. In the story of Noah's Ark, we mentioned before, God instructed them to build the Noah's Ark, and so he spared the life of Noah and his family, as well as his creation. One thing is very interesting. In the story, in chapter 11, we find that there is no mention of God's grace. It's an empty box over there. Daryl Johnson, professor of Regent College, believe this happened because chapter 11 is the introduction of the whole biblical narrative. From chapter 12 to Revelation 21, from the calling of Abraham to the descending of the city of Jerusalem, God opened the story of blessing mankind and telling the narrative of Father's grace and salvation. So this passage in chapter 12 is actually the beginning of the story. It's a very exciting passage and also contains a lot of content, and it's a very important passage. So let us dive into today's scripture and its such difficult circumstances, senses of today's world. Let us take a look at the biblical foundation for finding the blessing again. If God's blessing is all coming from Him, what exactly does this blessing include? And how can people get it? So in the scripture, we learn that God asked Abram, which is Abraham, to leave his country and his people and his family to go to a place that he doesn't even know where. And then God promised him to bless him, to make him to make a name, a great name of him, and also to make a great nation out of him. And then to bless him, to bless those who bless him, and also curse those who curses him, and also bless him so that the nations can also be blessed. So this has a lot of things going on in this passage. So let us unpack it a little bit. So here, God wants to go into a covenant with Abraham. So it's now like a contract. It requires two parties. So on Abraham's side, God asked him to leave his family, his homeland, his culture, to go to a place that he doesn't know. This is indeed a little bit of risk concerning he is 75 years old, and then he doesn't know the culture, doesn't know where to go. But speaking of this, many of us, or our parents, or our grandparents, can probably relate to this situation, because people left their home and land to settle in Canada. The challenges and the faith journey are still profoundly memorable. Going back to Abraham, Abraham was willing to follow what God has asked him. So on God's side, God promised to bless him through the seven I will statements. That's God's promise here. Let's look at them one by one. So God said he will show him the land that he promised to give him. Not only showing him, we learn that in chapter 13, that he actually said to him after he departed with Lot. He said, look around here, look to north, west, south, east, and these are the places that I prepare for you and your offspring to live here forever. So it's not just for him to look, it's for him to keep forever. And then secondly, he said, I will make you a great nation. What does it mean to be making him a great nation? Is that he promised him to have his own people, his own land, and his own government. And then he said he will make his name great. This means that he will make him, grow personally. He will make him a resourceful family, and then he will make him an influential leader of the world. I missed that. He said he will bless Abraham as well. We learned from the Bible that he has possessed a lot of things, like the crops and the sheep and a lot of money. So God intended to bless him. And then he will make his name great. He will bless those who bless him, and then he will curse those who curses him. It means security. It means God's protection. It means God's perseverance. It means God's salvation. It means that God will be taking care of him. In times of trouble, he will go with him. He is not alone when he faces challenges in life. And then finally, he said he will bless all nations, all the families of the earth through Abraham. It means God's blessing at the very end is not just for Abraham, and also is not just for Abraham's family. Is God's purpose, his intention, is to bless through Abraham and his descendants. We all know that one of his descendants is Jesus Christ. We all know that God's plan is to bless all nations through Abraham. This actually addressed the problem in the previous stories in chapter 11, which leave a question mark for us. How come there's no God's grace? And in fact, God has begun his salvation story through Abraham. So for Abraham, this is the calling of Abraham's story. I want to share also the calling of my family to Qingdao, one of the testimonies that I would like to share with you today. In 2009, I was about to finish the MA program at Regent College. We began to discern our future. I remember where I graduated from college. Elder Walter Wong had helped me a lot at that time. When I was struggling whether to go to seminary and prepare for full-time ministry. And then that time he asked me if there are any part-time Christians. This is a very helpful question for me. So I decided to go to Elder Walter again for guidance. So I thought if there were no special calling, I probably would go back to my previous youth ministry, and then to serve at the youth organization in Hong Kong. That's a reasonable thing to do. But Elder Walter gave me another golden advice again. So do you want to know what it is? Here you go. He said, if God wants you to know his will, it's impossible for you to not know it. So I didn't make any decision to go back to the organization that I worked for before. I keep myself open for any new possibilities. During that time, there was a new family coming to our community group at Region. And they recommended us to his organization that they where they came from. They work in that organization in China, Chengdu, China, for quite a few years. And this organization is for education in China. So they recommend this organization for us, and then we keep it in our mind. About the same time, we met another new student in that Regent College. Who also, later on we learned that, also came from this mission organization. She has served in this organization for more than 10 years in Qingdao. So this sister then introduced us to a new couple who just newly immigrated to Vancouver from Qingdao. And this sister wanted us to maybe spend some time with them to help them with the transition. And then they are actually the couple that we went to when we were in Qingdao. They are the elder of the church that we have been involved in. After we apply for this organization, we know that we're still waiting that where to go, because the organization have 6 cities in China. So we're still waiting for which city to go, but back in my mind that we have a feeling that we're going to be sent to Qingdao because of what had happened to us. So we went to Qingdao, long story short. When we arrived in China, the couple that we met in Vancouver actually were having a vacation in Qingdao. So they brought us to the church on Sunday. After the church meeting, another couple came to greet us. And then they asked if we knew Pastor Jigong. Pastor Jigong was the pastor from the Mandarin Fellowship of LGC. And then we were a little bit surprised because there are only thousands of people in the fellowship, and there are so many house churches in Qingdao. How could this couple know us? The couple actually knew Pastor Jigong when they were in the same university in the States. Pastor Jigong led them to Christ when they were in the college. So Jigong told them that there will be a couple going to Qingdao, so that she emailed them in order to set up a meeting with us. It just happened that they also go to that church, and they were also surprised that we went to that church as well. And the next day, the church pastor wanted to have coffee with me. I found out that this pastor liked Paul Stevens very much, and he also would like to come to a region college one day. He read many of Paul Stevens' books because he was involved in the marketplace ministry in China. He also has a periodical that's distributed to the Chinese Christian in China. He organized the CEO, this conference in China as well. When he learned that I was from Regent College, also graduated with the marketplace theology program, that he was so surprised and also moved. And then after we talked, we kind of learned that the new student that I met in Regent College, who worked in Qingdao for more than 10 years, that sister was actually this pastor's supervisor when they both work in the same mission organization. So, yes, a lot of coincidence. So even him believed that this kind of coincidence is it can only be explained that God purposely sent us to his church. So in the same week, we got the elder from the church, the children department, which is the couple that knows Jigong, and also the senior pastor, that all thinking that this is God's purpose. And we have a very blessed beginning because of this church. All the brothers and sisters from this church has always been the strongest backing of our ministry in China. Looking back to the situation over the past few months in our church, we wonder in what form in God's blessing are manifested. How can we experience God's blessing? And we will try to find the answer from the second section of the passage of today. So after Abraham make a covenant with God, his life doesn't change much. When he and his wife came to Egypt due to the famine, Abraham was actually really scared. What is he scared of? It's because he's scared of his wife's beauty. What? It's kind of hard to believe, because then many of our brothers in LGC would be scared too. But because of when someone coveting your wife, then because of his wife's beauty, that he might be killed because someone wants to take his wife away. So then he asked Sarah, his wife, to pretend to be his sister. In time of survival, God's promise may appear to be unrealistic to him. And some white lie is excusable. Even if his wife is taken away, it is just inevitable, because in this way, this is a greater possibility that he can save his life. Isn't it? But God didn't think so. God did not undermine the covenant that he made with Abraham. He saved Sarah in the hand of Pharaoh, and through this incident, God even blessed Abraham with more possession. We simply cannot comprehend God's amazing grace. How could he do that? But God once again made the covenant with Abraham and promised that his descendants will come from Sarah, not from other means. It is a physical birth from Sarah, which Abraham knew that Sarah was barren for years. So in this scripture, God told Abraham that for him not to be afraid, because God is his shield and his great reward. He will give a son to him through Sarah from his very own flesh. And then he will make a lot of, he will have a lot of offsprings through Sarah. Just like when he was asked to count the stars in the sky, that his offspring will be like those stars in the sky. So Abraham's calling is a complete craziness. It is beyond what ordinary people can understand. First, at the age of 75, he was asked to leave a big city and go to a place where he doesn't even know where to go. And then it's even more unbelievable is that Abraham and his wife knew that they have no children. Sarah is barren, but God promised that his descendants will come from Sarah. Even more outrageous is that the land God promised to Abraham is the land of the Canaanites, a much stronger enemy than himself. And God told him that his descendants will not only live in Canaan, like hiding somewhere in Canaan, but also fill the whole land. What is even more incredible is that when everything seemed so impossible, Abraham obeys. He actually believed it. In verse 6, the Bible said, Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. So we learn here, the key to find the blessing of God again can be understood as faith. Because faith is the way to justification. Through justification, we are declared righteous by God and no longer owe a debt of sin. Therefore, God and man are good. Blessedness means that we are alive in God again. It describes the experience of the righteous person in relationship with God. Therefore, we do not obtain God's blessing through more work, more sacrifice, or more service, but to experience himself through the justification by faith. So, we might think that if we trust God, then everything will be just fine. Not true. God gave Abraham his son Isaac, and he has the right to take it back. God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, and Abraham, I don't know what goes through his mind, but Abraham had trust God. He had completely trust, had complete faith in him. This moment provides the determining moment that proves that Abraham's faith is real, because without works, faith is dead. So today, we could not supposed to do the commissioning service to Kamloops. And we also realize that God has his time and sovereignty. Because our pastors and church leaders who are willing to obey the Lord's leadership and not walk in front of God, LGC has decided to postpone the commissioning service until we have a formal working status with the Canadian government. We have peace in our hearts because the church chose to start its ministry with integrity. We believe this is the greatest support and protection for us. Many of us, of the brothers and sisters in LGC, have already knew that we are called to Kamloops to serve the students there, particularly the overseas Chinese students. So even though we do not have a permit, a work permit to go to establish a formal work arrangement, we will still go as planned. We will leave next Saturday. Is this because the children need to go to school? And also our shipment from China is going to come very soon. And also we promised the landlord that we will start next week. So we will still go as planned. At the very end, I would like to use an example of the Kamloops campus ministry to summarize our message today. God used a servant. I want to introduce this person, Dr. Yang. Dr. Yang was used by God greatly in Kamloops. He was used to bless the Chinese Christian community of Kamloops for decades. He has been there for more than 50 years, and then he established the only Chinese church there. Also, he founded the overseas Chinese Christian Fellowship at the college, at the university. And due to health reason, he has relocated and left Kamloops in recent years. But he's had left a great legacy for the Chinese Christian community in Kamloops. There are a lot of great works that he has done in the community. So we went with Pastor Luke and CCM two weeks ago. And then we find that there are no Chinese fellowship in the university anymore. But there is an international fellowship. And then we find that this international fellowship still going on very vibrantly in Thompson River University was indeed the original the Chinese fellowship originally founded by Dr. Yang. It was the Chinese fellowship had only Chinese participated in it. And then now it's became a blessing to the students from all over the world. The picture that you see there, you can see there's only a few Chinese faces, but more like people coming from all around the world. So God's promise to Abraham through Jesus Christ, one of his descendants, to bless the Chinese community, so the Chinese Canadian Christians therefore have also succeeded the mission of the blessing the nations from Abraham. We are to continue to tell the story of the Lord's grace and salvation through brothers and sisters' experience and through you and my experience of being with God through the justification of faith. Okay, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we could not fathom your great plan. Your purpose is to bless the nations in the whole world. Through the story of Abraham, we learn that you have a great plan for everyone, including us and including those we are going to bless. Lord, we come before you. We ask for your grace for the ministry that you're gonna inaugurate in LGC, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.